Late last year, the Midwest Renewable Energy Association announced a new initiative called Solar on Wisconsin Schools. Partnering with the Cuyar Solar Foundation, the MREA initiative hopes to encourage 100 schools in the state to install solar panels and derive energy to operate the school from them in the next 4 years. Eau Claire is an early adopter, with panels planned for both public high schools. Is this practical for your schools? Is it practical at all? We talk solar on schools this hour on the West Side. Good morning. I'm Dean Kallenbach. Good to have you with us today. Our guests today are Amanda Schenebeck. She's the Solar Program Coordinator for the Solar on Schools Initiative with the Midwest Renewable Energy Association. And Amanda Schenebeck, welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Also with us, Cal Cuyar. He is the president of the Cuyar Solar Foundation. Cal Cuyar joins us by phone. Welcome.
Hello, everybody.
And also with us is Sarah French. Sarah French is the executive director of the Eau Claire Public Schools Foundation. Sarah French, great to have you along today.
Thanks for having me.
So as always, we value your input on today's topic. Would you be interested in seeing an array of solar panels go up at your school? Are you concerned about this effort to incentivize districts to consider solar? Call us at 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. Cal Cuyar, I'd like to start with you. You're talking to us today from your home in Deerfield in south central Wisconsin, but you have roots in western Wisconsin, don't you?
Yes, I was actually born in Chippewa Falls, and we moved from there to Owen. And then beginning of my sophomore year at Eau Claire Memorial, we moved to Eau Claire, and I graduated from Eau Claire Memorial. So I'm from northern Wisconsin, been living down in Deerfield, though, for the last 40 years.
So what brought you to this point of creating a foundation to encourage the development of solar energy?
Well, I put on a solar array at a factory I had in Edgerton in 2016. And when I did the quotations and found out how much solar energy costs, I was quite surprised on how low it had reached as far as pricing is concerned. So I installed in 2017, and I ended up selling the company roughly about 6 months after the array was installed. But I realized at that point that that solar power is more than just green environmentally. It was actually green monetarily, and that it made 100% financial sense to install.
So you have a business now called Speed Solar along with the foundation. What's the relationship of those two organizations?
Well, basically, after I sold my business, I was very interested in trying to get as much solar installed in the state of Wisconsin as I possibly could. And so I really, when I sold the business, I had money available for the Cuyar Solar Foundation. So I decided to go both the nonprofit route and the for-profit route. And so one of the companies, Speed Solar, sells solar modules, and then the Cuyar Solar Foundation gives them away.
So what triggered this idea to target schools for solar installations?
Well, initially we had started the Solar for Good, and Renew Wisconsin runs that program. And our thoughts were that nonprofits typically don't have a lot of money to install solar. They don't get the 30% tax credit and depreciation and things like that. So we were trying to help nonprofits install initially, and that was what we were going to do. But then we started getting schools contacting us, and we thought about it a lot, and we said, boy, if we're really going to make this transformation over the next 10, 20, 30 years away from burning fossil fuels, we have to get the schools involved because, you know, it's the children's future that's involved here. And so that's where this came about.
We're talking about the Solar on Schools initiative in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That was the voice of Cal Cuyar. He is with the Cuyar Solar Foundation. Let's turn now to Amanda Schenebeck. She is with the Midwest Renewable Energy Association. Many of us have heard of the Midwest Renewable Energy Association because of the big energy fair held in June at your grounds in Custard, Custer, in central Wisconsin. How did the MREA get involved in this Solar on Schools initiative, Amanda?
Well, Cal approached our executive director, and like much he said earlier, wanting to expand upon the Solar for Good program and specifically focus on schools. So we had several meetings in Deerfield to discuss what this would look like and how we could make it unique and different to really engage the schools even beyond that grant. So after the few meetings, we made the decision to hire me as the program coordinator for the Solar on Schools program. We spent the last 6 or 8 months really putting the program together, and under the radar, we've been having some schools approach us, and now we're really ready to start pushing it out to other schools.
Well, that's right. The statewide initiative was announced late last year, but you already had been working with some schools, including Eau Claire, and we'll dive into Eau Claire's involvement in just a bit. But what other schools were part of these initiatives in the soft launch, and what do their projects look like?
Yeah, so we have the Madison Metropolitan School District. Madison West High School will be installing solar. Their initiative started from a student-driven action to really push renewable energy, 100% renewable. So that was, they get much more credit than we do. We just provided some of the donated panels there for them. And they're in the process of going out to bid and moving forward with that project. Merton Community School District in Waukesha County already has installed their system. It went online in November of last year. They received solar panels as a grant from the Solar on Schools program and are expected to save, I think, $70,000 a year from the renewable energy. We also have several other schools in the state that have applied for the grant and are using the online resources that we have, the Oregon School District, Pepin Area School District, and the Eau Claire, both the Eau Claire schools as well.
So when schools fill out an application to be part of the Solar on Schools initiative, what commitments do they have to make, and what benefits do they then to derive if they are included in the program?
So there's so many different levels of the program that we've put together. So there's obviously the wonderful grant that we have for the solar panel donation itself, which is up to 50 kWs of modules per school.
And that grant is from the Couillard Solar Foundation.
That is absolutely from the Couillard Solar Foundation. So the program will donate up to 50% of your project size, up to the max of the 50 kilowatts of solar panels themselves. And that's really to help lower that financial burden that a lot of schools are facing to get that upfront cost to install the solar. But then beyond that, we found that there's an informational burden and there's a large learning curve to figure out what the process is to go through the solar development process. So we also put together an online resource center that school planning teams have access to at any time. This has different RFP examples, request for proposal examples. We have different video tutorials from some experts from some schools that have gone through the process, providing their expertise and suggestions. We have site assessment examples as well. So anything from we know nothing about solar and how it even works to walking you through the entire way of the process. And then the final step of the program is our technical assistance that the MREA is willing to offer schools free of charge to help you a little bit more hand-holding with schools if you want help writing your RFP or reviewing it or having a site assessment conducted on our end. We're really trying to provide as many resources as we can to help schools along that process. But yeah, all the applications for all those different pieces can be found on our website.
Let's turn now to Sarah French, who's Executive Director for the Eau Claire Public Schools Foundation. Before we dive more deeply into the Eau Claire Solar for Schools project, tell us more about your foundation and its mission. I'm not sure everybody is aware there is an Eau Claire Public Schools Foundation.
Yeah, thanks. So the Eau Claire Public Schools Foundation is the charitable arm for the Eau Claire Area School District. So when people want to make a gift to impact our schools, they can do that with us. And we were founded in 2011, and we exist solely to support the school district with value-added projects and immersive experiences for students and making sure that today's public school students have the same opportunities that you and I had growing up. So
the Solar on Schools initiative in Eau Claire involves building solar arrays on the roofs of both of the Eau Claire area school district's high schools,
yep.
Memorial, and North. What's the role of your foundation in that project, then?
So we are serving as the vehicle for fundraising for the project. So we're really excited because this project is going to be at no cost to the Eau Claire Area School District. That's a really exciting thing for a public school district when budgets are tight. If we can do something to impact our kids and impact our teachers and the community without having to use tax dollars to do it, that's huge. So we are working with the project on collecting donations for the program so that there is no cost to the district. So we're raising $250,000 to support the installation and the labor and the 20-year maintenance program for the solar panels.
Now, you mentioned that there's no cost to the school district. Are there other financial ramifications either down the line or, I mean, what are the financial are there financial benefits to the district? I would assume that some energy savings would come from
this. So in addition to there being no cost to the Eau Claire Area School District to take on this project because it is privately supported, in addition to that, the school district is going to be saving over $20,000 a year in energy savings. So, it really is a win-win. It's a very exciting project.
So what's the status of the fundraising effort for the Eau Claire projects right now?
We are live. We launched the fundraising in December, and people are excited about the project. The more we talk about it, the more people are like, well, tell me more about that. That sounds really cool. I want to get involved in that. And our students are excited, our teachers are excited, and the community is really getting on board. So the donations are coming in, and we're excited to see this thing happening.
Is there a timeline? Is there a goal that you're trying to hit?
Yep, we're looking to secure all of the gifts and partnerships and sponsorships in these next couple months. We would love to get these solar panels installed over the summer break.
Okay. That's the voice of Sarah French. She's with the Eau Claire Public Schools Foundation. Also on the program with us today, Amanda Schenebeck of the Midwest Renewable Energy Association and Cal Couillard of the Couillard Solar Foundation. Want to weigh in on this topic? Do you like this sort of public-private partnership? Do you see it as appropriately bypassing or inappropriately bypassing traditional funding methods? We're happy to have you along. Join the conversation at 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is The West Side on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the Solar on Schools Initiative. It's a partnership of the Midwest Renewable Energy Association and the Couillard Solar Foundation. Our guests today are Amanda Schenebeck from the Midwest Renewable Energy Association. She's the Solar Program Coordinator for the Solar on Schools project. And Cal Couillard, he's the president of the Couillard Solar Foundation. Also Sarah French, Executive Director of the Eau Claire Public Schools Foundation, which is currently fundraising for one of these projects in the Eau Claire District. One of the major goals for the Solar on Schools initiative is education. And Cal Couillard, how does the installation of the solar panels play into the educational goals of the schools?
Well, I think that, you know, the young people today are seeing that we have to do something about climate change. And when they see this go up on the school, what we've done down here in Deerfield is there is a readout on a screen in the school, and as they walk by the cafeteria every day, they can see how much energy is being produced that day, and it gets them actively engaged in understanding how we're going to solve this problem.
Amanda Schenebeck, does a district have to promise folding solar into its curriculum in some fashion in order to be considered for a Solar on Schools grant?
Absolutely not, although we do highly encourage it. I think that schools offer this unique opportunity to be able to engage that next generation into passionate careers or just engagement with renewable energy in general. Wisconsin's in the midst of this renewable energy and solar boom right now, where you have a desperate need for solar installers, and the need for that's going to grow, and we're going to need more careers in the renewable energy and solar industry. So being able to engage students at a K-12 level with renewable energy, with hands-on STEM or STEAM activities through that dashboard energy learning mechanism is really key. And important, I think, probably just as important as the financial savings that schools can see.
We're talking about the Solar on Schools initiative in Wisconsin, and we'd invite you to call with your comments and concerns, 800-228-5615, and your questions as well. Let's move to Vern and Boyd. Vern, thanks for joining us on the West Side.
Oh, good morning. I turned my radio off. Okay, this could be a multi-argument thing. On solar panels, see, there's always, it makes it more complex. You always got government subsidies and tax credits. But see, here's the thing people don't understand. The Earth's atmosphere has got too clean, so we get more solar energy input. We need coal-fired plants because here's the thing. We make cement. Cement is made out of limestone. So you break calcium carbonate, which is CaCO3, down into calcium oxide, which is lime, and you get one molecule of CO2. And you take the coal ash, and it's mixed with the calcium oxide, because we used to use plain calcium oxide or Portland cement. Now they dilute it with coal ash to cut the cost down. So if we do away with the coal plants, then we're going to have a shortage of cement. But the other thing is aircraft, as it's, we increase our aircraft travel more and more, it's going to more than offset all the solar panels you install. It's going to make no difference, none whatsoever. The F-35, those jets alone will negate all the solar panels in the state of Wisconsin.
Thank you, Vern. Cal Couillard, interested in your perspective on that. We still need coal. We still fly airplanes. Is this a drop in the bucket as far as contributing to a cleaner energy society?
Well, I think that, you know, they're measuring the CO2 rises every year. It's going up approximately 4 parts per million. It's like clockwork. That rise is even increasing, so it'll be pushing in a few years up to 5 parts per million. And they've been recording this, and the scientists know the levels of CO2 over the last 800,000 years. So to me, we have to move away from the burning of fossil fuels. Regarding the coal plants, from an economic standpoint, the power companies in the state of Wisconsin already recognize today that coal is losing financially to solar and wind power. So they're essentially taking coal power plants offline as quickly as they can, maybe not so much for environmental reasons, but for cost reasons, and that will continue. And so I believe that, you know, jet fuel in the future probably will be made out of biodiesel, but I think that we just cannot continue to pump the carbon dioxide into the air, and it's a huge problem for this atmosphere.
Yes, and I just wanted to add on that I think you're seeing the utilities in the state that are really moving towards renewables and especially solar. So that's just indicative of the price profitability of solar in general. So coal plants are being retired and they're being replaced by solar all over the country. In addition, by having solar in the state of Wisconsin, we're keeping jobs in the state of Wisconsin. Like I mentioned before, there's such a need for solar installers that a lot of times some out-of-state companies are outsourcing jobs for projects in the state of Wisconsin. So the more that we can get the next generation, again, educated and passionate about renewable energy, solar's happening regardless of what, you know, anyone has to say about it. It's going to keep happening, and the best thing we can do is stay on the edge of things and push it forward as much as we can and get Wisconsin jobs to fill those positions.
Sarah French, touching on that, I believe, and I apologize, I don't have this right in front of me, but there is some collaboration involved in the Eau Claire project relating to the Chippewa Valley Technical College. Is that correct?
Yeah. So we're excited about this project because it really is a community partnership. We're working with the Couillard Solar Foundation, Eau Claire Area School District, CVTC Energy Center, it's XL Energy. It's a big partnership. It's really exciting when we all come together and work on this together.
Now, we've done some shows in the recent past about government entities, including the state of Wisconsin and the city of Eau Claire, who are pledging to be carbon neutral by 2050. Amanda Schenebeck, how likely is solar on public buildings to be a significant player in that mix?
I think It can be definitely a significant player. You're seeing cities all over the state of Wisconsin that are making those pledges, like you said, and they're starting with those public buildings. And beyond that, though, there's some solar fields that you can put in as well that are really able to chip away at that. I think the city of Middleton just signed a big contract with MG&E, and they're meeting a lot of their school district's needs with that off-site solar energy, but then they're also putting solar on top of all the public buildings as well, and new buildings are going to get solar right on top.
These moves toward carbon neutrality are generally triggered by concerns over climate change, but climate change itself is a highly charged political issue. Sarah French, have the schools or your foundation felt any backlash for supporting a solar on schools project by individuals who may see it as just another way to imprint the ideology of climate change on our students?
I'm certainly not seeing a lot of that. I mean, I'm sure that there is. But by and large, we're seeing community support for this project. People are excited about it. This is, you know, where our schools are headed, and people are excited to be a part of that.
Cal Couillard, I'm wondering if more broadly you've experienced that sort of challenge to the Couillard Solar Foundation as far as the work you're trying to do to get solar in the schools.
I guess I haven't encountered any backlash, but, you know, it's something that I believe in 100%, and I haven't really talked about the climate change. I've been talking about just the CO2 level. So I think that there needs to be a distinguishing between CO2 and climate change. You know, some people are saying these are the end results. I'm simply saying that they're recording the CO2 levels. They know what's happening. They know the rise in the air. They know the rise in the oceans, and that's undisputable. And so that's why I focus on that as opposed to climate change. I think climate change is still being debated, but CO2 levels are not.
Our conversation today on the West Side is about the Solar on Schools Initiative, a partnership of the Midwest Renewable Energy Association and the Couillard Solar Foundation. Cal Couillard, the president of that organization, is the voice you just heard. And in the case of Eau Claire's high schools, the solar panels are going on rooftops. So, Cal Couillard, is there ever a structural integrity issue for this sort of rooftop installation?
Well, that's something that you always do the analysis of the roof and make sure that it can handle the increased load. A lot of roofs on high schools tend to be flat roofs, so they usually have a rock ballast on top of them. And so they're designed to handle that kind of load. And a solar load is typically in the range of about 3 pounds per square foot, so it's typically easy to do on a high school, but it's not done unless the school roof can handle it. Also, you want to make sure that the roof has been replaced or whatever more recently. So you wouldn't take a roof that is 1 or 2 years away from having to be rebuilt and put a solar array on because you'd have to take it off. So it does require a roof that's in good condition.
So you need to do some planning, make sure you're not planning to redo the roof in a couple of years after you install these solar panels. I'm kind of curious, what if we get another, what if you've got solar panels on those school roofs and we get a February like we had last year with record like 50-inch snowfall? Is clearing snow a problem when dealing with these rooftop arrays?
Typically, people do not go up on the roof and clear the snow, and that's one problem that we do have in Wisconsin, especially on a flat roof, because it's not a direct mount. It's usually ballasted, which means that it just uses weight to hold it down. So the modules on schools tend to be at very low angles, so they don't get high up into the wind, but that also means that when you get heavy snow, that they can get covered. So what happens typically in Wisconsin is that a lot of the solar arrays will not operate in December and January because they'll get, especially with what Eau Claire had last year, most likely the roof would probably produce no solar power in the month of February with the heavy snows that they had. So a lot of people are also then mounting on school grounds, which is also an option.
And I think I'd like to add to that that when you're doing your analysis of what kind of savings and production you're going to get from the solar PV system, that we're really good at knowing what the weather data is and the climate data is for a specific area. So we take into account what the average snowfall is and how much production is going to be limited from that snowfall in that particular area. And from one year to the next, you might get more solar production from that system or less. But on average, it's fairly accurate in determining what kind of production and therefore savings you will see from your system.
So, Amanda Schenebeck, is rooftop installation the expectation for all the schools that participate in the Solar for Schools program, or could some of those installations be on the ground?
Absolutely. They can, whatever works best for the school district. We just worked with a community college, different program in the state of Illinois, and if they had a particular idea of where they wanted to put their solar on a roof, but after conducting a site assessment, it was found that it was best to not do something on the roof, and they're instead doing a carport solar PV systems, which is something that they hadn't even necessarily considered. But again, that's the importance, like Cal said, of having that site assessment conducted to figure out what kind of system you're going to have, where you're going to have it, and figure out what your financial savings are going to be.
Our topic is the Solar on Schools Initiative. It's a partnership of the Couillard Solar Foundation and Midwest Renewable Energy Association. Eau Claire Schools is participating. They're one of, they're actually two, the two high schools, North and Memorial, are two of the goal of 100 schools with solar installations over the coming 4 years by that project. And with us today are Sarah French of the Eau Claire Public Schools Foundation, Amanda Schenebeck from the Midwest Renewable Energy Association, and Cal Couillard, the president of the Couillard Solar Foundation. If you're interested in talking about this concept, have questions about it, 800-228-5615 is your number to call, 800-228-5615. Consumer-grade solar panels first rose to public attention during the Mideast oil embargo of the mid-1970s. Those of us who were around for that can remember, you know, gas prices jumping, you know, which had been in the 60s and 70 cents per gallon, suddenly climbing over a dollar a gallon. And long lines at the gas pumps because of this Mideast oil embargo. It dramatically increased prices for petroleum-based energy. Initially, that effort led to government-sponsored incentive programs, really for the first time, to develop solar power. Amanda Schenebeck, what's the state of government incentives for solar nowadays?
So we still have the investment tax credit that you can get. It is starting to phase out. As of 2020, you get a 26% tax credit. However, as that phases out, if nothing else changes, I think that you can see as the pace of decrease in the cost of solar installations, the market is already up and thriving. I think we're not going to see any type of issues as that continues to phase out. There are a lot of other smaller incentive programs like the Solar on Schools program. It's really important to look and see what else is out there for your utility, for your state, for your district. But there's still ample programs available. But like I said, I think that the market is going strong and it's going to keep on doing regardless of what incentives are out there.
Cal Couillard, you mentioned when we early in our conversation that you got interested in solar because of the business you previously owned, and you were surprised at how relatively inexpensive it was compared to what you thought it was. How has the technology for solar changed since those days of the Mideast oil crisis? What's it look like now compared to what it used to, Cal?
Well, I mean, the costs have come down, you know 1,000% or something like that. And then it's a little bit like computers. The wattage or power output of the modules just keep getting better and better each year. So the modules keep dropping, and the wattage levels keep going up. And they're at the point now where, you know, it's really doable from a financial standpoint. And that's the message I'm trying to get across to people. It doesn't matter whether you care about the environment or not. I mean, I do think it is important, but financially, it is making sense. And I can just give you an illustration of the factory in Edgerton. We put a large array on that, and it produces all the electricity that factory uses. So it's a 100%, you know, using its own power. And it also sends power back to the grid, and it actually can power up a few homes in the Edgerton area as well. So it's a lot more powerful than people really understand.
Let's go to the phones. We have Ellen from Eau Claire. Ellen, welcome to the West Side.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention, as one of the people helping to raise the funds, that all sizes of donations are welcome, whether that is $10 or $10,000. And we've had kind of close to both of those come in. And, you know, we need all of those. And so whether you're a current student at Memorial or North, or whether you own a business, or whether you're looking for a place to put an IRA rollover, you know, any of those funds are welcome and will make a difference.
Sarah French, I'm sure you don't disagree with Ellen.
Yes, absolutely. You know, if we don't ask, the answer is always no. And so we're looking for partnerships big and small. I mean, gifts as small as $5 or $10, gifts as big as $100,000. I mean, truly, any impact that you want to have with this project, you can. And that's really special.
Scott from Chippewa Falls joins us on the West Side. Scott, welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning. Thank you very much. Yes, I have a question about, I'm from Chippewa Falls, and we're interested in trying to gain interest in putting solar on the school in Chippewa Falls. And, you know, it's a black membrane roof at this point in time, and I was wondering, you know, the steps to looking into replacing the roof membrane possibly with a white that would help with the solar production and reduce the temperature for the electrical portion of it. Is what are the best steps in trying to, if they're going to be replacing that in Eau Claire to a white membrane roof, or if they have already, and what do we need to contact an engineering firm, you know, from a structural standpoint?
Cal Couillard, if I can, I'll turn to you for the answer to that first, and then maybe to Amanda Schenebeck.
Okay, so yes, you should always look at the structural review to make sure that the roof can handle the load. But then the other part of that is not the structural review, but what is the status of the roof itself? How old is that EPDM membrane? So if it's got, you know, was replaced 2 or 3 years ago, then you just go with what you have. But if it's 15 years into a 20-year life cycle, you definitely want to deal with replacing that roof before you put the solar in. Personally, I like a white covering as opposed to black, because in the state of Wisconsin, just about everywhere else, one of the biggest use of electricity is air conditioning in the summer. So we are actually giving away bifacial modules, which is, it's unusual technology. It can collect power from both sides of the module. What a white roof does, two things for a high school. One is it reflects light in the summer, so it keeps the air conditioning down from a standpoint of absorbing the heat. But then the second thing with the bifacial modules, it redirects that light to the backside, and you can actually get a higher power level.
Learn something new every day.
Yes.
Amanda Schenebeck.
Yeah, I was going to bring up the bifacial modules. So with the donation with the program, we are actually donating the bifacial modules as well. So if you are considering getting a new roof and you're also considering getting solar and going through the Solar on Schools program, white roofs have a higher reflectivity, so you're going to be seeing more production out of those bifacial modules. That being said, in terms of getting other assistance and where to go from where you're at right now, I'd be happy to work with you as part of the program to get you some resources off the air and helping you figure out what you need to do to get a project more off the ground and a little bit more rolling.
Scott, do you have a sense of how far along these conversations are in Chippewa Falls?
Well, they're not very far along, but I have two children that are in high school, and one of them does help me doing solar on houses already, and I thought that getting them involved might be a good way to start the process moving forward, and they would learn from it at the same time.
Sarah French, you have some thoughts on that.
Yeah, one of the things that we're most excited about with this project is not only the cost savings to the district, but that educational component, what it brings to our students. And, I mean, to piggyback off of what Amanda's saying, there is a need for people who are going to be working in this field. And so getting students excited about it and seeing it put to work at their own school, on their own buildings, is so exciting for them. So it's cool to see the energy about this spreading to neighboring school districts.
That's the voice of Sarah French. She's the executive director of the Eau Claire Public Schools Foundation, which is in the midst of a fundraiser to put together $250,000 or so to help install solar panels on North and Memorial High Schools. Cal Couillard is president of the Couillard Solar Foundation. Amanda Schenebeck is the solar program coordinator for the Midwest Renewable Energy Association. We're talking about solar on Wisconsin schools and bring your voice to the conversation at 800-228-5615. We've just cleared all the phone lines, 800-228-5615. I'm Dean Kallenbach. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our topic today is solar on schools. Our guests are Amanda Schenebeck of the Midwest Renewable Energy Association, Cal Couillard of the Couillard Solar Foundation, and Sarah French of the Eau Claire Public Schools Foundation. Amanda Schenebeck, the Solar on Schools initiative has a goal of 100 schools in 4 years. The initiative is only a few months old. What kind of interest is it drawing from districts around the state and particularly here in western Wisconsin?
So there's been an interest in an uptick, and I think that part of what we're seeing already is this community effect where you have schools like Eau Claire that are thinking about and announcing going solar, and immediately you saw this uptick in the surrounding school districts that consider, well, if they're doing it, then maybe we should kind of look into this too and see how to do it and where it's worth it. So we've seen that in some of the other schools that we've already been working with. And the schools that in western Wisconsin, I think we have Eau Claire and Pepin so far that have expressed interest. But there's several other districts that we've been in communication with, much like Chippewa Falls, that are in very early stages of development and wanting to go forward. There's just that big education and process overload and figuring out how to make a project go forward. There's just so many different levels involved in that.
And you were mentioning to me before the program began that you spent part of last week at the Wisconsin Association of School Boards conference where you had a booth talking about solar on Wisconsin. What kind of questions you're dealing with school administrators and school board members. What kind of questions did they have as people approached the booth about the initiative?
Well, I think first things first, folks are already kind of aware that the program is out there. There was many folks that were just walking past saying, oh, yeah, we heard about you guys, that you have a grant for us. And so just spreading the word is the big thing right now. But I think that the questions really vary by who's the champion at the time. And we've been finding that there is no one particular person. It's not the superintendent or a school board member, or even a student that always takes the lead. It's different for every school and every district. And ideally, you need to have a big group of core folks together to make a project go forward. So if we're talking to the superintendent or the business administrator, they're going to be more focused on the financial side of things. But if you're talking to a student group or a school board member, they're going to be perhaps more interested in the educational part or the technology itself and getting it forward. So there's a lot of different types of questions that we get asked all the time, which is, again, why we have all those resources kind of put together to provide those to folks.
Eau Claire is a large school district in the largest community here in western Wisconsin, but there are a lot of rural districts out there that might not be able to do the kind of fundraising Eau Claire can do. Cal Couillard, can small districts afford to be a part of Solar on Wisconsin?
Yes, they can. And I would say you're right. Eau Claire kind of has a unique situation with the ability to raise funds with a foundation. I'm not seeing a lot of school systems or school districts that have fundraising capabilities like that. But it's also sometimes easier for a smaller school to do it also because there's less bureaucracy the smaller a system gets. But I think what was mentioned before was champions within the school district. I think having, many, more than just one champion, and when I'm talking about champion, it's somebody who makes this happen. You need as many champions as you possibly can, and I think that's what pretty much every school district needs, including the small ones.
I'm curious. We do have one individual has messaged us asking, will the foundation help to replace a roof? We talked about the fact that, maybe some of these schools, the roof isn't ready or they need to replace it. If that's required in order to get a solar installation, Amanda Schenebeck, is that something that could be that the grant could be used toward, or is that something that would have to be raised locally?
For the grant itself does cover the module donation. However, the program does provide different resources and assistance throughout the process. So if you're needing to have roof replacements done, we'd be happy to provide some guidance and expertise in that area and provide suggestions along the way as you move your way through that process.
A lot of the conversation about all forms of renewable energy, whether it be wind or solar, has to do with storage. You know, is there a way for us to take this energy we're gathering now? Maybe we don't need it all, but can we hang on to it in some fashion and use it later when the sun's not out or it's an overcast day or whatever? Amanda Schenebeck, is that an area of advancement? And are there breakthroughs on the horizon that are going to make this sort of thing even more possible and maybe even make it more likely that these organizations with goals of being carbon neutral by 2050, where that might actually happen?
Well, we sure hope so. What we are seeing is that a lot of optimism that the battery market might progress much like the modules themselves did, where the more that people start using them, the prices are going to start to chip away and come down. Something that I think we do encourage schools to do if they want is you can make your system battery ready. So right now, the cost might be more expensive and it might not be as fruitful for you to go and invest in the battery storage system. But in the future, in another 5-10 years, it might be worth it. So making sure that your system has the capability to perhaps add that battery storage might be something smart to do, especially since schools can be those community centers and resources that you might want to keep online during some type of emergency.
So Cal Couillard, as not only the president of the Couillard Solar Foundation, but also with your business, Speed Solar, which supplies solar technology to individuals and businesses and organizations, how hard is it to keep up with the changes in the technology?
Well, you just have to follow it. And so it is like the computer industry. You know, the modules keep getting better. The battery technology is getting cheaper. You have hybrid inverters now, which can store energy as opposed to just, taking and moving it back onto the grid. So that's just something that's going to be fast. It's going to continue to change quickly over the next 10 years. And I do want to mention with the batteries, right now, 100 kilowatt system is not, large enough to actually supply all of the school's needs. So at this point in time, batteries aren't necessarily needed because this is more of an auxiliary source. I would say most schools would probably use anywhere from 5 to 10 times that amount. So 100 kilowatts is only anywhere from 1/10 to 1/5 of what you actually need. So battery storage is not needed with that size of a system.
I have to admit, I don't know if this was some sort of an experimental system or if this is something that's sort of on the market, but I'd seen a demonstration, I can't remember where, of a solar panel that sort of moved with the sun. In other words, trying to do the most it can to capture the sunlight. Obviously, that takes some sort of energy to make that happen. Amanda Schenebeck, are you aware if that technology is common, or is that something that's unusual or experimental at this point?
Yeah, those are tracking systems. You're going to see those a lot on ground-mounted solar PV arrays. We're mostly seeing those in the utility scale market for the solar PV systems, and what they're able to take advantage of is the economies of scale. So the larger you make the system, the lower the price per watt is. So they're the largest, I think, consumer of those tracking systems. But as more happens, we might see that trend change a little bit.
Sarah French, your Eau Claire Public Schools Foundation is in the midst of trying to raise money for the projects involving North and Memorial High Schools. What happens if the private donations for this, beyond the support being supplied by the Couillard Solar Foundation and the Midwest Renewable Energy Association, what happens if that falls short of the goal?
We scale the project to what we raise. So if we can't quite reach the $250,000 that we're looking for, then we just scale the program back to what we have raised.
And can you remind us again, what is being provided with the grant versus what you're raising money for locally? Can you break that down for us a little more specifically?
Yep. So we are very gracious to the Couillard Solar Foundation for donating the first half of the panels. We also have an anonymous donor who has pledged to support the other half of the panels, the other cost of the half of the panels, if we're able to raise the $250,000 needed. And what we are raising the $250,000 for, again, is not the solar panels themselves, but the cost of installation, the labor, the racking, and the maintenance. Again, we don't want to get excited about a project and then leave our school district holding the bag. We want to be helping them with this for the life of the project.
What is the actual value of the project when you build in all the donations? Any idea, Amanda Schenebeck, any idea what the number is, or Cal Couillard?
Well, roughly, I would say that typical installations are about $1.75 a watt. So if we're looking for a 100-kilowatt system, you'd be looking between $175,000 to $200,000 for each school.
Yeah.
But then there's also including, they're including the maintenance for 10 to 20 years in that as well. So my price was just on the cost of installing the system.
Got it. Okay. So, Sarah French, how do people contribute? You mentioned that the dollar amount is not prescribed or proscribed to people. But, you know, how do they learn more about it? In other words, we've talked about it now for 52 minutes, but if people want to understand this project more, how can they learn about it, and then how do they donate?
Yes, all at the same place. You can come to our webpage, ecpsfound.org. You can learn more about the project. You can donate right there online. Otherwise, if you wanted to mail in a check, you could certainly do that. Our P.O. box is 511. In Eau Claire, Wisconsin here. And then, as Ellen mentioned when she called in, we also accept gifts of IRA stock and rollover. And I mean, we can really meet you where you are and help you have the kind of impact that you want to have. But it's easy.
Amanda Schenebeck, I'll give you a last word on the program today. Are you going to make your 100 schools in 4 years?
We sure hope so. I think what we're going to see is that we start small, but like I said before, we're going to have that residual community effect where every time we see a school in the state go solar, it's going to start spreading, and before you know, we'll be a really solar school state. So watch out, Wisconsin.
Very good. Cal Couillard, I thank you for joining us today, and good luck on your continued efforts.
Thank you.
And the other guests on our program, Amanda Schenebeck, who you just heard, is the Solar Program Coordinator for the Midwest Renewable Energy Association, Cal Couillard, President of the Couillard Solar Foundation, and Sarah French is Executive Director of the Eau Claire Public Schools Foundation. Thank you all for joining us today. We will include links for more information about the events we've talked about on our website at WPR.org. Go to Shows and then select the website at West Side, and you'll find links to the Couillard Solar Foundation. You'll find a link to the Solar for Schools Initiative on the Midwest Renewable Energy Association website, and you'll find that link to donate and learn more on the Eau Claire area, the Eau Claire Public Schools Foundation website. Mort Cypress is our on-air producer. Kate Spranger provides publicity and web support. Next week on the West Side, we look ahead to the Chippewa Valley Rally, when advocates for business and government in the area advocate at the Capitol in Madison. What are the big issues that will be brought forward by the rally in 2020? Our guests will include Melissa Jansen of Royal Credit Union, Scott Rogers of the Eau Claire Area Chamber of Commerce, and Amy Forsier Pabst of the Chippewa Falls Chamber of Commerce. Don't forget to join us Thursday at 10 for that special election coverage. The next two Thursdays, we'll have the candidates for the Democratic primary this week Thursday, the Republican primary for next week Thursday in the 7th Congressional District special election to replace Sean Duffy, who resigned last fall. And again, that's on this station, 10 o'clock on Thursday. I'm Dean Kallenbach. Thanks for joining us on the West Side on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.